Welcome to the Be Better Chop Shop podcast.
Why is it the Chop House, man?
The Chop Shop, man, because we chop it up and dissect the information in here.
I like that.
Be Better World is a movement about empowering people. Stay tuned for some really cool people, some really cool episodes, and learn what you can do to empower yourself.
Headphones?
Sorry.
Yeah. So, I got the side mic. Hey. Okay, cool. Oh. So, special edition. We're in the Chop Shop Be Better World podcast, and I am thoroughly excited because something just happened that was not planned, and that's the beauty of life. When it's not planned, it tends to come together, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm in the room with three fairly amazing humans, and for those of you who don't know, just give you a little background. One of the things that I do in my community across the country right now is I do diversity and inclusion training and workshops. And right now I'm sitting in the room with the CEO and president of the Billings Chamber of Commerce, Mr. John Brewer. I have the CEO and president of, I'm going to call it Singh Enterprises, Mr. Harvey Singh, right? And then I got the guru of the native community in the room with me, Mr. Josiah Mohugs. How you guys doing today?
Good.
Thank you, brother.
So it was interesting, man. Like, I literally have a workshop coming up, and I looked in the room. I was doing each one of you guys individually interview, and I went, wait a minute.
Yeah, we got to get to the
table. We got
to
get this. We got to get to the table because we talk about getting to the table, and a lot of times we don't know how to get there, so we can't miss this opportunity.
I agree.
Right? So I just want to just kind of have some kind of roundtable discussions about, like, what you guys see in the community, and we'll just kind of go through some stuff and just kind of have a conversation about what our community is not talking about, right? Because I think a lot of times, you know, we talk the talk or we talk it in the water cooler, but let's put it in the air and see what's happening, right? So I'm gonna dial it back to midsummer 2020, George Floyd. Let's just start there because I think we all can say that that was probably an epicenter of a lot of conversations for a bunch of us, right?
Oh, for sure.
So I know. So I'm gonna start with you, Josiah, because I know that you had a major part in the march, the rally that was here. So just talk about your experience with that, just that whole.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, when, you know, I seen that event was going down, my first thought was like, we need to be part of that. The Native community needs to be part of that. You know, I've been here in Billings for some time now, for about 20 years. And I was like, because the whole reasoning behind that is like, I live by, you know, I use Wellbriety. I'm in recovery from addiction. And one of the medicine wheel teachings, you know, like it's a medicine wheel, it's a circle. There's red, yellow, black, and white. And those represent the different shades of skin throughout Mother Earth. We're all separate with our culture, with our languages and stuff, but we're all part of one big whole pie. You know what I mean? So I was like, we got to get down there, show some support. And I reached out to the organizers and I said, hey, can we open this up with a prayer song, with a prayer? Start it out right. And they're like, yes, come in and do that. So, you know, a group of us, we call Recovery Walking Red Road. We came down there and we opened up the whole thing with a prayer song.
Impressive, man. And Harvey, I don't know. I know that you and I had a conversation before that even broke. I don't know if you remember. I came up to your office and I was talking about, I have to do something.
Right.
And all that broke out. So just tell me about the impact, you know, that it may have had on you, or, you know, just your view of how you see things and how you saw things at that point.
Man, I would think I had quite a few regressive thoughts. You know what I mean? I've had moments, you know what I mean, even just being in this community where it was like, oh, okay, I'm different, you know what I mean? And you know, and I can't say that's always been in a negative way, even on the positive end, you know what I mean, to be treated differently because I'm different, you know what I mean, things like that. It wasn't always a negative connotation to it. So when that whole thing broke out, I honestly went into silence, man. You know, I didn't really have anything to say about it. I didn't really want to. You know, definitely a lot of thoughts flowing, you know what I mean? A lot of old memories too, you know what I mean? What my pops went through in Riverside, California in the 80s, you know what I mean? And things like that. So I think it brought up a lot of old memories in that sense. But I wasn't very opinionative about what it is or very outspoken about what was going on at the time because it just didn't feel like it was my place. You know what I mean? And I think there was enough, you know, agitation already that it didn't really beg for my opinion or anything like that, you know, to be taken wrong or right.
Right. No, I appreciate that. And so, John, you're in a different space as well because you are representative of the business community with all of the businesses, I should say all of them, quite a few businesses here in the community. There was a reaction or a reach out. What do we do now? So kind of talk about your experience from that point to where we are now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the George Floyd killing was that moment where not only did, I think there was this time where we saw that something has to be done, but throughout the country, there's a feeling that there's a role for the business community to do better in the space that we are in. And it was shortly after that we partnered with the United States Chamber of Commerce and 500 chambers across the country that said, it's our time now to step up and play a role in areas that aren't being met right now. We've got some fantastic organizations in this community, from Not in Our Town to the Human Rights Coalition and so many others, but we didn't see anybody helping the business community do better in that area of workforce development. So folks like Harvey would feel like this is their home and you don't have to feel uncomfortable. And this is a spot where, you know, we a time when we asked our membership, you know, how are we doing as a community and can we do better? And 72% of the business respondents said we can do better in terms of inclusivity in our workforce, in our community. And you know, so Billings is a great place, but there's so much work to be done to be better.
Yeah, and I think that's just it. And one of the things I have a 4-part series, and I talk about diversity and I talk about inclusion. And I want to focus right now on the inclusion piece, right? Because I think this is really important. So since my show is audio and not visual, I just want you guys to visualize the room right now. I have a young gentleman here that's of Native American descent. I have somebody whose parents descent from India. I have John, who is our Caucasian brother.
Mile City, Montana.
Mile City, Montana, right? And then there's me, who you guys figured out. I'm the chocolate guy in the room, right?
Don't forget about Taj back here. He's half German and half Indian.
There
right
you
there,
go, so. Right? So if we're sitting in Billings, Montana, and this wasn't planned. And so we all have different experiences and views about how this plays out. So I kind of want to talk about, like, you know, the inclusive piece, right? Because a lot of times people think inclusion means exclusivity. Because if you're going to add something, you're going to take something from me. And the thing that I try to teach is, you know, my favorite analogy is this. If you add a transgender bathroom to you had a men's and a women's, add a transgender, we didn't take anything. We just added something for somebody else. Mm-hmm. So just talk to me about your, and you guys pick who goes first. Talk to me about, in your circles, what do you hear about the inclusive piece of what the city is trying to do, or if you hear anything, and you guys jump in where you see fit.
Like 2020, I was part of a pilot program across community reconciliation headed up by Councilman Yakovich. And there, we just kind of came to like a conclusion, like early on, like we need to be ambassadors. You know, it was a Native group and a non-Native group. We met separately 3 times, and then we met together 3 times. We were hoping to do in person, but pandemic and all that, we had to go revert to Zoom and stuff. But through that, it was just clear, like, we as Natives, we have to be ambassadors for ourselves, for Natives to non-Natives, and then from non-Natives to Natives, you know, kind of be that go-between. So like, if someone comes up and says, what's the significance of a war bonnet, like, I shouldn't take offense and just be like, oh, this is, look at it as an opportunity, like, oh, this guy truly doesn't know, I'm going to tell him about it and talk to him about it. And then, boom, that person is educated. They can go home, educate their family. And then, in turn, hopefully, that family educates their neighborhood. And then, in turn, that neighborhood educates their community.
So that's really, really important, because John and we and I had this conversation yesterday, 2 days ago, right? Whatever it was, right? Talking about who can you ask, right? Are you put off, right? Yeah. Because when I talk about inclusivity, even the minority groups have to be open to the conversation. Oh, for sure. Right?
Probably more so.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. So, John, I'll let you talk about
this. Well, it's like Billings is 90% white. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that barrier of doing better is just the fear we've got to overcome as that 90% white population to just have the conversation and realize that the person you're talking to is human, just like you. And to be able to ask the questions and not be afraid and coming from a place of, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself or I don't want to embarrass William if I ask him a question. And just opening that conversation. We've been working on this, William, for the last few months. And that's been kind of my awakening in terms of other conversations we've had with businesses around, is they just want that safe space to be able to ask questions, have difficult conversations, and not feel that they're being judged at that time, because they want to learn and grow. So those people that are gravitating toward the issue and wanting to do better need to have that person who is a mentor or a trusted friend that they can have that coffee with, or the Maker's Mark, and just enjoy the opportunity to get to know somebody and go on that self journey and exploration of yourself and how, you know, you don't know what you don't know. So if you come to things with an open mind, you're going to grow and learn things about people and how you can help others in incredible ways.
So, how about your experience? Just, you know, just the inclusivity piece of it. You know, I think that's really important.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, my personal experience here hasn't been, you know, you would think coming from California. I mean, even it was on my mind coming out here. Like, what is this going to be like in a community like this? I can't say I've received hate. You know, I've definitely received, you know, curiosity and things like that. And I've had some people say some pretty ignorant shit, to be honest. I've had people say, you know, but like, it's understanding it yourself, like you said, you know, for coming as a minority and then seeing it as an opportunity. You know, I just haven't had it, you know, I just haven't had it that bad to where I feel, you know, threatened, or I just never had that. What I feel is there's a smaller population that's really interested in finding out. And I think there's definitely a lack of, people doing something like what you're doing right now, you know, to kind of push the envelope, you know what I mean, to really put that out there. I think there's a lot of people that would be receptive to finding out and learning and things. And I think there has to just be something has to happen and start in that direction. I don't think people would be opposed to it. And I think it would take some people to come around. You know, it would take longer, but I just don't, and I'm specifically talking about here in Billings, I just don't feel a hate. I just feel a not knowing.
And so that's interesting, because I think a lot of times, and this is my experience, I have experienced some hate in Billings, but far less hate than I've experienced positivity.
Right.
Far, far greater, right? But I think the thing is that people need to hear those good stories.
Right.
Like, so when Harvey says he hasn't experienced hate, very rarely do you hear those stories, because we hear the sensationalized stories like George Floyd.
Yeah.
These stories don't get the press, if you will. So I think that's really interesting. So let me flip gears a little bit, right? So how does one approach one who they want to get knowledge from?
I honestly feel like it's there's got to be a platform. You know what I mean? There has to be some kind of platform for it, or whether it's community events or things like that start to, you know, promote and start to just, you know, not even promote, really just educate or just show people what's available. I think something like that would really interest a lot of people. And it might be a small population in the beginning, but that's the beginning of it. You know what I mean? You don't know what you don't know, and you fear what you don't know, you know, and we naturally, as human beings, when we don't understand anything, we're like, you know, we resist it. But when you open the door, you know, and you add a little bit of Maker's Mark, maybe, I don't know. You know, it's finding a right platform to really connect people and to get them interested and really saying, no, go ahead, say what you want to say.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. You know, and it doesn't have to be an argument. It doesn't have to be a fight. There just has to be some kind of atmosphere that's been made available to people. And I think that's what's missing. You know, we don't talk about it. Everybody talks about it at home.
Right.
You know, everybody does. Nobody talks about it together.
So here's something. I'm going to pick on you, John. You're actually the minority in the room. Go figure.
Yeah, right.
I'm interested in that. So I want to talk to you about, same topic a little bit, but talk to you about your experience. You know, what do you hear? And again, this conversation is raw and open and vulnerable. So, you know, what do you hear in circles? Because, I hear things like, we don't need this, or Billings is not racist, or all those kinds of stuff. So what kind of stuff are you hearing?
Yeah, and we heard that. We had an event where we launched this discussion about diversity and inclusion, and somebody, you know, yelled back at us, you know, are you saying that, that Billings is racist? And, you know, absolutely. And you've done a great job explaining the difference between prejudice and racism and, you know, those different levels. And, you know, I think as Harvey's talking about, you know, having those connections with people, whether it's through an event or getting to know somebody via, you know, one of your workshops, you see that evolving here. I think where people are more willing now maybe to have these conversations because there's pods of activity going on, whether it's in the Native American community or through your work, William. And it's just encouraging that the conversation is going on. And I think the more we have those uncomfortable conversations, other people will feel maybe obligated to step in and get to know somebody and share more.
And so, Josiah, I got to kick this to you, and you said it, so I'm gonna tread on water because I don't think you are embarrassed about it. You said you're recovering. And I think that's important because I think when your lens is small, right, you think you're trying to paint the entire ethnicity with a brush. I commend you for your walk. I see the stuff that you do. We've coached basketball together. Things, man. So talk about like just your ability to influence the Native community about being open in this space, man. Just because, like, I know you're doing stuff, man.
Yeah, and I think it's a lot of it is like back to that conversation piece, like having that those difficult conversations as you were talking about. You know, I work for the Billings Urban Indian Health and Wellness Center. And I was an addiction counselor, but now I work in suicide prevention. But once that opened up back in 2019, you know, we started seeing clients and we're geared for urban natives. That kind of opened the door to have those conversations with the non-natives in Billings community. And more, we're finding like we're having to be like ambassadors for the Native community in Billings and kind of sharing some of our culture and sharing that piece. But I think from the Native American community, more and more need to like kind of step up and, you know, go and try to, you know, get them jobs at in the public sector and stuff. Because at my organization, it's like 95% Native professionals that work there. You know what I mean?
in Billings, Montana. I got to point that out. We're not talking about on the reservation.
Oh, no.
We're talking about right here in Billings.
Right here in Billings. Right? Yeah. And like prior to that, you know, I was at Downtown Billings Alliance. I was the resource outreach coordinator there for 2 years. You know, I was out here on the streets trying to help the street people. But I was the only Native there, you know, and I was, you know, I was hired because I was Native and, you know, kind of be able to relate to the people on the street because a lot of them out there are Native. You know what I mean? But prior to that, I was at BIA, Bureau of Indian Affairs, at the regional office here in town. And there, it's like 100% Native Americans that work at the BIA. And coming out of college, that was the only place that would hire me. You know, I got the psych degree from MSU Billings. And when I came out, I applied everywhere and anywhere. And the only place that picked me up was the BIA office.
So I'm going to say it, right? So makes me cringe a little bit, right? Because this gentleman's not that old, right? And he could only find a job with like mine. So that's why we have to have these kind of conversations. Because for those of you all who think it's not a reality, it's a reality. And by the way, it's no blame. It's just a matter of understanding that glass ceiling is trying to be knocked down with a toothpick.
The other part of it is this has already happened over and over in other communities. You know what I mean? I feel like we're way down on the list. Like, but I think that's a good thing because, like, here we are. We can look at all these other communities and seeing what's not worked. And we have an opportunity. Billings is not figured out yet. It's not the communities around us. It's not, you know, I'm talking in the state or other states around us. It's just not. It's one of those places that's just kind of like, you know. So what a great opportunity to do it right for once. You know what I mean? I honestly feel that Billings could come up with a platform, it come up with a plan that could be a model for other places, big places like, you know, honestly, I've received more racism in California than I have here. You know what I mean? People don't realize that there's still a lot of conflict. You know what I mean? So like, why not use this place as the last best place, the last key on the ring to be the place that decided, hey, we're going to do this thing right and we're going to figure it out and we're going to pass it on to people and show that, you know, what can be, what things can be.
So, John, what are you seeing? And again, like I said, I know we are pretty early on, but I know that you've had some fairly significant conversations with folks who are highly interested in this.
Yeah.
So, you know, just kind of talk through because, like,
I truly feel like the business sector is going to be the precipice of driving this. Because again, if I got a business with 100 people and I adopt the culture, guess what?
And there's so much enthusiasm as we start to talk to large employers in town that are looking for, you know, a place to go for help. You know, we want to do better. We want, and I think the business side behind, you know, not only is diversity, inclusion, equality the right thing, but there's the dollar and cent side. From a business person, if you get a staff who is fully inclusive and engaged and can bring their authentic self to work without having to have a veil over who they are, you're going to get more out of that employee. They're going to be satisfied and they're going to stay here. I mean, I think I've heard Harvey tell stories about people he's known that have come to town and said, you know, this place might not be for me. I don't feel comfortable. And if we can develop this environment, and we're hearing that from these major employers and all size employers, that Billings can do better, and that if they just do some minor work through their leadership team, through their HR team, that they're going to grow and they're going to be this inclusive organization. And we're finding that we have these conversations. William, you've been part of those with me now for the last several days. And these businesses see that economic side in it, and they are looking for that outlet and that support that many people such as yourself are providing now.
Man, I could do this all night, because like I seriously could, man. Because these are the conversations that I think open up. You know, 4 goes to 8, 8 goes to 12, and we look around now. We got a room full of folks talking. So I want to ask you guys, like, hey, so this is, you know, we'll close with this, and I'll go last, and you guys can decide who goes first. If you could tell the Billings community one thing about diversity and inclusion, what would be that thing that you would tell the community?
It's inevitable. Really?
You know, as part of that 90% white population, you don't know what you don't know. And you've got to approach these conversations, again, with that open mind and be willing to learn and grow. Because I cannot say what it's like to have walked in your shoes, William and Harvey. I've not been there. And so you've got to approach this with that attitude of, I want to grow and learn.
For sure. And I think, especially like from the Native community, I think that like the non-Caucasian members of this community need to realize that you can be racist too.
Oh.
You know what
point.
I mean? Like,
good point.
Because like I was very prejudiced and racist at one point in time in my life. And it was because, you know, but when I started walking Red Road, I realized I didn't love myself. And so then when I started loving myself, I was able to turn around and look out and just see people. You know, it's like, oh man, these people are just out here trying to get their slice of the pie. Right. And the more and more people are able to realize that, put the humanity back into just conversations, I think the better off this community will be.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of points back to the secret a little bit. If you walk around and you're expecting people to, you know, despise you or look down on you for your thing, you kind of, you know, you add to it in a way. You know, I think it takes a real strong mind to really come above that and you know, not add to that from the reverse side of things, yeah. You know.
Hey, so we just had our first annual semi-multicultural caucus right here,
yeah, yeah,
on the Be Better World podcast. Hey, gentlemen, thank you for allowing me to do this, and I think we got to do more of this, right? I mean,
yes,
I'm
sir.
Dead serious, because these are the type of conversations that when people hear, and they're like, wait a minute, they're actually trying to find a solution and yes, not sir. Focused on the problem. I think that's what's going to carry this community to the next level.
Yes, sir.
So from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you guys putting up with me long enough to do
this. Hey, man, thank you for the work.
I appreciate you having me.
Appreciate it, man. Awesome. Be better. We signing out.
Peace.